Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Pei Hei. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Joan Sayowitz, Devorah Chenya Bas Shlomo Tzvi. All the Shomos we learned for, we should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of the Chayalim, bring back the Chatufim, Bimheira, in good health, and there should be Shalom Al Kol Yisrael. We pick up the Gemara on Pei Dalet Omid Beis by the two dots, about 10-15 lines up from the bottom of the Daf. We quote the Mishnah that said, Tsar, kvo, bishpud, or bimisvarer, v'chule. That if you went and injured somebody on their nail where they spit, you burned them on the nail so it doesn't cause any permanent damage, it just causes pain, or you took some sort of a nail and you injured them on their nail. So we said in that situation, you have to go and pay for the pain. So tsar, shelo bimokum nezik, mishtalem, that the Mishnah taught us that tsar, that doesn't have with it accompanying damage, you nevertheless have to pay for it. Montana, who is the author of our Mishnah? So we'll see, we'll have two different opinions, Rava and Rapapa, as to whether Ben Azai is the author of a Mishnah or Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi is the author of a Mishnah. Because Omar Rava tells us Ben Azai. Rava tells us that the author of a Mishnah is Ben Azai. And we know this from the following Braisa. The Tanya, we learn the Braisa, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Omer, he says, Kivio Nemra Tchila. We have a pasuk in the Torah, Parshas Mishpatim, as are many of these psukim that we've been dealing with. Kivio Tachas Kivio, Petza Tachas Potza, Chabura Tachas Chabura. A kviya is translated as a burn, a petza is a wound, and chabura is also a bruise, another type of a wound. There's slight differences between them, which we're not going into right now. But the Braisa teaches us that Rebbe says that kviya nemra tchila. It first tells us the word kviya, kviya tachas kviya. So that comes to teach us, Rebbe says, a din. And Ben Azi Omer, differently, chabura nemutchil. He says the word chabura is written first. Now, obviously, the word chabura is not written first. They're not arguing about the order of the pasuk, but they're arguing about how to darshan the first word. So the fact that it says kviya first, the opinion of Rebbe is different than the opinion of Ben Azai. So b'maykol miflugi, the Braisa says, what are they arguing about? So Rebbe is of the opinion savar kviya the less bechabura mashma. The word kviya implies a pure burn on the nail without necessarily any additional damage. So the Torah is telling us that even a wound that doesn't have any damage, it just is a painful wound, you have to go and pay for. And then when it subsequently says, Kasa Rachmona Chabura, it then later on in the Pasuk says, Chabura, Tachas Chabura, is Legaluye to teach us Allah de Kviya, that the first Kviya actually meant to teach us the Isbe Chabura in. Low, but if it doesn't have accompanying nezek, so then you don't go and pay for it. So Rabbi's opinion is if we just had the word kviya, then we would have said that a kviya without nezek, without damage, you would have to pay for. However, along comes the word chabura to explain that the initial kviya is only that you're chayiv to pay if there is also damage. So when do you pay for the pain? If there's also damage done. But if there's no damage done, then you don't pay for the pain. That's Rebbe's opinion. And that's what Rebbe means when he says, kviya nemra tchila, and then we need the word chabura to explain it. Ben Azai, on the other hand, says, savar kviya, when the first word kviya is written, it means the is ba chabura mashma. It is only talking about a kviya that also has a chabura with it. Why then did the Torah then write the word chabura afterwards? Kasa rachmana chabura, tachas chabura afterwards, to come and now explain the galuye law, the kviyo, the less be chabura, is also going to be chayev. So you have to pay for the pain, even if there is no chabura. So therefore, this is the difference in darshin between Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Ben Azai. And that's Rava's opinion. So therefore, on a Mishnah, goes according to Ben Azai, who says that even if you do not have a chabura, so then you're still going to have to go and pay. Because the word kviya originally meant with the chabura, and then when it says chabura, it comes to tell us that even if it doesn't have a chabura, you're going to have to go and pay. So according to Rava, our Mishnah's authorship is Ben Azai. Maskev l'Rapapa, Rapapa questions, it says the exact opposite. Rapapa says, Adarabba, no. Ivchum istabra, it makes more sense to learn it the other way around. And the fact that Rebbe holds what we just said Ben Azai does, and Ben Azai holds what we just said Rebbe did. And that's because Ivchum istabra, the logic is the opposite, because Rebbe Omer, Kviya Nemra Trila. The word Kviya is written initially, which implies, Savar Kviya, the Isbo Chabura Mashma. Because it doesn't tell us anything specific about the kriya. It just says kriya, and that would imply whether it has damage or whether it doesn't have damage with it. And then you have the word chabura, kasa rachmona chabura, to teach us ligalui elo de kriya, the less ba kivura chabura, you're also going to be chayef for. So you need the second chabura to tell me that the first kriya is going to be even if you just have the pain without any damage. So again, Rebbe says the word kriya by itself teaches us the isbo chabura mashma. It only is if there's a wound there. And then the second word in chabura comes to tell us that even if the less bo chabura with the kriya. So therefore, Rebbe is the authorship of our Mishnah because Rebbe is the one that says, tsar shalo b'mokum nezik mishtalim. On here, this in according to Rapapa, Ben Azai is teaching us the opposite. Ben Azai Omer, no, Chabura Nemra Tchila. We have to look at the word Chabura first. Of course, it's not written first. But Sabar, he explains, Kiviyo de les bo Chabura Mashma. When it says Kiviyo alone, it means without a Chabura. And then, Kasar Chabana Chabura comes to teach us, Ligaluye, to reveal Allah de Kiviyo, what Kiviyo means. The is bo Chabura in. If it has a Chabura, so then, yes, Ilo lo. But if it doesn't have a Chabura, then you wouldn't pay for Tsar. For the amaskano kaime, and therefore the exact opposite over here, according to Rapapa, as opposed to what Rava had. Now, alternatively, inami, everybody holds kviya, the kuliyama kviya means bein de isba chabura, bein de lesba chabura mashba. The word kviya, since it doesn't mention anything about a chabura, would include whether it does or it doesn't have a chabura, you'd have to go and pay if it just said kviya tachas kviya. For hacha, but then it comes along and tells us chabura, and we turn to pei hey amud aleph. And therefore, this is to be judged like a klalu prat. V'chlalu prat hamiruchokim zemizeh komifligei. And this machlok between Rav Yehuda Hanasi and Ben Azai is in fact arguing about how do we view a klalu prat. Normally we say, if you have a klal and then a prat, so the prat defines only things that are like the prat are included, and not general like the klal had intimated. But when there's another word in between over here, this is called a klalu prat hamiruchu chokim, because you have the word petza tachas potza in between them. So Rabbi Sovar, they're arguing over here, b'chlalu prat hamiruchu chokim zeh mizeh komifligi. Rabbi Sovar ain't done in oso b'chlalu prat. If you know miruchokim, if you're far apart, you have petza tachas potza in between them, so then you can't darshan this like a normal klalu prat, whereas the klal comes along to teach us, when the prat then defines it, only that which the prat is. So therefore, Rabbi Savar ain't done in osob kalu prat, and therefore, you're going to pay for the pain, whether there is a chabura or there is no chabura, because the word kviya by itself implies, as we just said, everybody holds, that it means with or without a nezek, with or without a wound. Ben Azai disagrees. Ben Azai Savar Donin Oso B'Kal Prat. Just because it's Meruchokim, just because you have the first words Kaviyah, they're separated by Petza Tachas Potza, and then Chabura Tachas Chabura, doesn't mean you can't learn it as a Kal Prat. And therefore, Ben Azai Savar Donin Oso B'Kal Prat. And therefore, the Chabura comes to teach us only if there's Nezek do you pay for the Tsar, but if there's no Nezek, there's no wound, then you don't pay for the Tsar. No, this is great according to Ben Azai, but according to the opinion of Rehuda Nasi, then in that situation, chitema chabura l'rebi lomeli. So then, why does he need the word chabura if we know it all from kviya? So what does chabura add? So Gemara says for Rebbe, it comes to add the domim yiserim. It's needed for domim yiserim. What are domim yiserim? So Rashi explains in Dibur Maskul the domim yiserim the ilol kosev elu kviya tachas kviya. If we only had the first part, so granted, we would have known it means with or without a wound. Havar minon bein isbe chabura bein lesbe chabura. It would include everything, Dami, it would include both of them. So kviya mishalim, you pay for the kviya. However, avoltarti lo mishalim, so you wouldn't pay twice. You wouldn't pay for the damage and for the kviya. Kumash v'lon de mishalim tarvayu. So therefore, you need chabura to tell me, no, you pay both. You pay for both the damage and for the pain. So this is the second way to learn the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Ben Azai. Okay, then we go back to quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Om dim kama odom kayotzi vizerot zolito v'chule. We said, how do you go and estimate pain? So you say, how much would a person be willing to go and get paid to get such pain? So Gemara says, Tzar b'mokum nezek hechi shaminon. How do you exactly go and figure this out? The amount of pain that they had when there's damages. So you're already paying separate for the damages. How do you calculate what the pain is worth? So Amar Vod Shmuel, Shmuel's father said, Om din kama odim rotza litol liktoa lo yodo. How much would a person be willing to accept monetary compensation to cut his hand off. No, you walk up to the people and you assess, no, we want to cut your hand off. How much would you be willing to take in terms of money for us to cut your hand off? Mara says, that can't be it. No, really, you're going to walk up to people and say, how much would you like us to pay you, and we'll cut off your hand, and then get an estimation how much people are willing to pay for that. First of all, it's not just the pain of cutting off your hand. This guy no longer can work. He's going to be embarrassed. He's going to have all the other types of payments that you have to make. You're going to have nezik, tzar, ripu, shevis, and boshes over here. So you can't simply divide out how much of this amount, let's say $5 million. I'm willing to have you cut off my hand for $5 million. So how much of that is a nezik? How much is a tzar? How much is a ripu, shevis, and boshes? So it's very difficult to figure out how much is tzar in that situation. But furthermore, the Gemara says, "Oh, Bishuf Tani Askinan, are we dealing with idiots? Are we dealing with fools?" Rashi explains in above Metzia and Daf Mem that Shuf Tani means shotim, idiots, fools. Are we dealing over here with people? Yeah, oh sure, I think I'll let you cut off my hand for $5 million. Nobody's willing to do that. So therefore, that's not the right way to calculate how much the tzar is worth. So it says, you're right. Elo liktoa yodo hakitua. We're dealing here with somebody, as Rashi says, yodo hakitua means that it's barely hanging on. Umuhuber is begidin. Nebuch, somebody was in a traumatic accident, and he has no use of his hands anymore. The hand is gone, but it's still hanging on by some threads. And therefore, how much would this person be willing to say, go cut this off? How much money would he be willing to take to cut this thing off, which already, Nebuch, the hand is not usable? So Gemara says, that's still not right. Yado haktua nami. Even in this situation where the hand is already non-functional, but okay, so lo tsar luchudeika, but it's still not just the pain that you'd be talking about. Hotsar uboshesika. There's an additional payment over here when he still has his hand that's still semi-attached, so he looks somewhat normal, plus at least he has the hand still. What are you going to do with this hand? You're going to throw it to the dogs afterwards if you cut it off. The chsifale milsa. It's a terrible embarrassment to this person, lemishkal mibsaro, to go and cut off this hand so he doesn't even have it looking like a hand anymore. And lemishtai leklovim. What are you going to do with this? You're going to throw it to the dogs. So there's, in addition to tsar over here, there is also boshes. So again, that's not a good way to calculate pure tsar. So it says, okay, we're getting closer. Elo omdim, you go and estimate and evaluate kama odim rotsa litol, how much a person would be willing to take liktoa lo yodo hamuchtov l'malchus. The government has decreed, and unfortunately governments in the past have decreed, famous tshuva of the Tashbates, who was asked the question, the Sultan said, I'll either kill Yankel, or you let me cut off, talking to a specific Jew, let me cut off your finger, or else I'm going to kill Yankel. So, Nebuch, we know that this sometimes can happen. So the government says this person is going to lose his hand. We're going to chop off his hand. So how much would a person be willing to go and take, liktoa lo yodo hamuchtav l'malchus, to have his hand cut off that's already, by the government, declared to be, that they're going to go and amputate it, Bein Sam Lesayef. The government would say, here, we're going to do it with a surgical cutting off of the hand, or we'll do it with some sort of a sam. We'll do it with some sort of a potion that you'll take, and that will cause your hand to come off. So that's less painful. There's almost no pain with the sam, and there's tremendous pain with the sayef. So therefore, calculate the difference, how much the person will be willing to go and take to have it cut off with the sayef rather than with the sam. Where it says, again, that's ridiculous. Amrei, hochanami, lo shakulu mitzar nashi. Nobody would be willing to do this. Again, dealing with shuftani, which person would say, yeah, cut my hand off with a knife when they could cut it off with a non-painful method? So where it says, okay, this is really the final answer. Ela omdim, you're going to estimate, evaluate, kama odim rotsa litein, how much would a person be willing to go and pay the government? The government declares this guy has to have his hand chopped off. No. If the person could go and pay a certain amount of money to have it not chop it off, but to go and cut it off with a non-painful way, with some sort of a potion, with some sort of a psalm, so today, let's say for argument's sake, we'll cut it off without surgery, without anesthesia, or we'll cut it off under surgery with anesthesia. So that's the question. Would how much a person be willing to go and pay to have it done in a painless fashion? And that's the amount of the tsar. Gemara says, okay, that's great. We now finally got it, except the language is wrong. It said the Mishnah used the word litol. How much would he be willing to take? Here, it's not highly tall. It should be litain miboyle. It should be how much you'd be willing to give. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Huna, braid Rav Yeshua, what it meant was litol zeh mizeh mashinosan zeh. So we're dealing over here with the person who never had his hand cut off, and that's what we're trying to estimate how much the damages were. So he's going to go and take the amount that a normal person would be willing to go and give to the government, not to cut off his hand in a painful way, but to cut off his hand in a surgical anesthetized type of a way that won't cause any pain. Okay. That concludes that section of the Mishnah. Now we go to the next part where it said, Ripui, he called Chayel Raposo Vuchule. If somebody went and damaged somebody else, he has to go pay the doctor bills. The Brisa starts off and tells us, Tanu Rabbanon, all about smachim machmas hamaka. What happens if you had some sort of a wound infection? You had boils developed, smachim, some sores developed on the maka. And then, v'nistra hamaka. The maka was then officially healed, but then, after the maka was healed, v'nistra hamaka, it came back. So, Chayav Raposo, the Braisa says, you have to go pay for it the second time as well because of these wound infections that occurred. The Chayav Litein Lo Dumei Shifto, and you also have to go and pay him the unemployment costs over here, how much money he's losing from not being able to go to work. Shalom Machva Samaka. However, if these sores or wound infections were not a direct result of the original maka, so then, Eino Chayav Raposo, then the person who caused the original wound doesn't have to go and pay for this wound infection because it's unrelated. Somehow they could figure out whether it was related or not. Here it was felt to be unrelated to the original wound, so the person who hit him, the one who caused the damage, doesn't have to go and pay the doctor's bills in this situation. And he also doesn't have to give him the unemployment fee. The pasuk says, "Rak shivto yitain v'rapo yirapay." So the doctor's bills and the shevets are over here, but if the wound wasn't caused, this wound infection wasn't caused by the original maka, then he doesn't have to pay any of them. That's the Tanakam's opinion, that under normal circumstances, where the wound infection, these sores, these blisters that occur on the wound, so the person who caused the wound has to pay both the medical bills as well as the unemployment, the amount that the person would have made while he was employed, but now he can't work, have to pay both of them. That's Tanakam's opinion. But if the wound infection is not at all related to the original wound, then he doesn't have to pay for either. Review the Omer, the second opinion in the Brice is Af Machmas HaMaka Chayv L'Raposo V'in Chayv Litin Lo Dumei Shifto. He says, even if the wound infection was due to the original being hit, the original maka, so you still only have to pay the doctor bills, but you don't have to go and pay the unemployment, how much further he's going to be unemployed because of this wound infection. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And finally, the third opinion, the Chachomim Basroi, we have the Tanakhama, was a different Chachomim, then you had Rav Yehuda, and now we have the Chachomim Basroi. The last opinion, the third opinion, is the Chachomim, a different Chachomim, and they say, Omrim, Shifto Urufwaso, go together. And therefore, kol shechayev b'sheves, if you're chayev to pay the unemployment fee, so then, chayev b'ripui, then you pay the doctor bills. But v'sheino chayev b'sheves, if there is no amount that you have to pay for his being unemployed, so then, eino chayev b'ripui. The two go together, the pasuk says, rak shifto yitein, rapo yirpay. You need to pay both of them, or you pay neither of them. So we have three opinions over here. The Tanakama, that is Kamoi, the Chachamim Kamoi, you have the Chachamim Basroi, the third opinion, and we have the middle opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what are they arguing about? By Komifligi, what's the understanding of the Machlokas between the three of them? So Rabba explains as follows. Omer Rabba, Ashchinsu l'Rabbanim b'Bei Rav. I found the Chachamim studying the Beis Medrash of Rav, the Yasve v'Kamre, and they were saying as follows. Now, it doesn't mean Rav over here, Rav the Amore, it means a Beis Medrash. This is a general term that we use for Beis Medrash, is Bei Rav. Okay, so he said that Tamidim was suggesting this is the difference. When this person originally got wounded, so there's no wound infection there yet, but if you put a bandage on it, so that will help him with the healing of the hand, but the bandage somehow will also facilitate this wound infection from occurring. Sometimes if you're not careful in cleaning it out, so sometimes just putting a bandage on something can actually facilitate a wound infection. So that is what the three opinions in the Braisa are arguing about. Can you or can you not have the right to go and bind your wounds with a bandage? Because while that may allow the wounds to heal better, it also has the potential to cause a wound infection. So the Rabbanon, the Tanakama Savre, Mako Nitno Lieged, that a person has the right, halachically, he has the right to go and put a bandage on his wound. even though this may facilitate the wound infection from occurring. And therefore, in that situation, the one who caused this wound is also considered to have caused the wound infection, even though it was the bandage that somehow caused this wound infection, and the person who was hurt put on the bandage. Nevertheless, this is considered to be the responsibility of the guy that hit him, and therefore he has to pay for everything. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. But if it had nothing to do with the original makkah, then he pays for nothing. Then we have the second opinion of Yehuda. He holds Savar Makkah lo det liyegid. He says, you don't have the right to go put on a bandage. You should suffer, so to say, with the wound. It will heal on its own. The bandage may make it heal faster, but it also has the potential to cause a wound infection. So therefore, you cause this wound infection, and therefore, ripui de tonebei kra. So the penalty that the person has to pay for the doctor bills, so that's included over here. The chayev, because of the double loshon, ripui de tonebei kra. It says rapo yirape. So therefore, even if you're responsible for causing this wound infection by bandaging it, since the Torah says there's double lashon, rapo yirape, so therefore you, the one who hit him, has to go pay for those doctor bills. However, the sheves, the lo tana beikra, it says rak shifto yitain. It doesn't mention shifto twice. So therefore, in this situation, when you didn't have the right to put on the bandage, so then lo mechayiv, we don't make you go and pay for the sheves for the amount that he can't work to pay him for what he's not able to work. Now, that's what Rabbah heard the Talmidim say. And he said, Rabbah said to the Talmidim, if you aren't allowed to go and bandage this wound, so then why should you have to pay the doctor bills? So then, if it was not permitted to bandage it, because it can facilitate a wound infection, so then you shouldn't have gone and bandaged it. So not only should you not have to give him unemployment money, but you shouldn't have to pay the doctor bills. So that's Rabbah's approach. So therefore, it can't be talking about a makkah, whether you can or cannot bandage it, because then there should be no payment whatsoever. Ella, in fact, Rabbah says, the kulei alma makkah nit liyegid. Everybody agrees, a person has the right to go put a bandage on his wound. So in that situation, it'll be more comfortable, hopefully it'll heal better, but it has the side effect that it may cause a wound infection. Fine. So in that situation, you have the right to bandage it. Kulei alma makkah nit liyegid. The one thing that they argue about, however, is velo nitno li eged yisera, but you have to put on a proper bandage. You can't go and do extra bandaging more than the need, but in the hopes that it will somehow be better, it will heal better and be less painful. Sometimes when you put on the bandage, you put it on so tight that it makes it feel better, but it actually going to facilitate them doing some sort of damage. So therefore, this eged yisera, that's not allowed. And now the person did this eged yisera. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda, the middle opinion says, kivan delo nitna li eged yisera. Since you weren't allowed to do this eged yisera, so then the rapo yirape, ripu de tana bekra, so then here, mechayiv, the Torah still requires you, even though you did more than you were allowed to, so the Torah nevertheless states that you have to go pay for the doctor bills. However, the shevis, the lo tana bekra, it just said rak shivto. It did not say a double loshon of shifto. So therefore, when you weren't allowed to do this extra binding, lo mechayev, the person doesn't have to go pay for the unemployment. V'rabbanan, the Tanakama, Savre, they hold that no, kivan the tonet beikro beripui, since the Torah used this double loshon of rapo yirape to come to teach us that even though you did something without permission, this eged yisera, nevertheless the Torah holds that the person is responsible to pay the doctor bills, and therefore, in that situation, the Rav Yehuda holds that ripui the tana beikra, so mechayev, so therefore shev is the lo tana beikra, lo mechayev. So only for the ripui does the Torah go and say, if you did something that you weren't allowed to do, are you going to be held accountable to pay those doctor's bills, but not for the unemployment that he can't now work, you don't have to pay for that. Whereas the Chachamim hold no. Rabban and Sari, since the Torah said, the Tanakhama says, kivan the tana beikra beripui, ashev is tana mechayev. It's across the board that you have the obligation to pay for the doctor bill, so then you're also going to have to pay for the shevis, for the unemployment. Ashev is nami mechayev. Because the iskash ripui, because the pasuk says, rak shifto yitein rapo yirapei. So therefore, it's a hekish. They're juxtaposed together in the pasuk, and therefore, even though you weren't allowed to do this, eged yisera, nevertheless, you are going to be obligated to pay for both the doctor bills, according to the Tanakhama, as well as the unemployment. No, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda agree to this hekish? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, He says, Sheves lo mechayev, did my teirach wanna rak? He says, there's a word here that's extra. Rak shivto yitain, rapo yirapay. So the word rak comes to teach us that we shouldn't have this 100% a hekish over here, and comes to tell us that only when the Torah said the rapo yirapay, the double law shown, so then you have to pay the doctor bills. But when you have the egged yisera, you don't have to pay for the unemployment because it says rak shivto, and it didn't use a double lashon. And what does the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, say about this? The Rabbanim, they say, no, the word rock is the shalom machmas hamaku diosa. The word rock is needed to tell us that if the side effect occurs, the wound occurs, nothing to do with the original makkah, so then the Tanakhama says, then you don't pay anything at all. And the word rock is teaching us that, but not to tell us not to learn the hekish, and therefore the Tanakhama learns the hekish. No, now we get to the third opinion in the Braisa. Ulu Rabbanim Basroi, the second opinion of the Chachamim, which is a different Chachamim than the Tanakhama. So the third opinion after Rav Yehuda was the second Rabbanon, the Rabbanon Basrai. What do they hold? The Amre, they say, they hold the two go hand in hand. If you're obligated to pay the doctor bills, you also pay Sheves. If you're not obligated to pay the doctor bills, then you don't pay Sheves, and vice versa. So therefore, Ripoy the Tana Beikra Lomeli. So then what does the Torah mean when it says Rapo Yirapay? Why does it need a double Lashon? So the third opinion, the Rabbanim Basroi holds, they need it for that famous drasha that we learned from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tanya, because we learned, the Rabbi Yishmael and the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, they said, the words Rapo Yirape comes a famous statement, Mikan Shenitain Rishus Lirofe Lirapos. We need this to teach a doctor that he has the right to go and heal. As Rashi points out, you know what I would have said? V'lo Amrinan Rachmanu Machi V'iyu Amasi? HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused this person to get sick. So you have the right to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I might have said on my own. And therefore you need the double lashon of Rapo Yirape to come to teach us that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, allow this person to get sick, we have the right to go and heal him. Tosus adds and he says that if you just had the word Rapo, so that would teach us that din. In the Dibur Masu Shinito Rishus L'Rofi L'Rapos, Vim Toma V'homu Rape L'Chude, Shamina led. We would learn that out just from one lashon. So Tosa says, "V'yesh lomar dahava amina." I would have said, if you only had one word, "Rak shivto yitain v'rapo," I would have said, "Hani mili makabi the odom." That is, if a person hurt him, so then the Torah gave me right to go and heal that because a person did it. Aval choli a sickness habo abidei shemayim that comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Maybe I would have said, "Kishemerape," if a person goes and heals something that a Kodesh Baruch Hu kaviyachu did, nira kesos exeris a melech. It looks like you're going against the Gzer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you need the second Rapo Yirape Kamashul and Dishari to teach us that that's permissible as well. That concludes this understanding. But the Gemara brings down another understanding regarding the payment for a refuah, the doctor bills that the person who caused the damage has to pay. So the Braisa says, Tana Rabbanu, Minayin Shim Olubot Smachim Machmas Hamaka. How do we know that if there were a wound infection, there are these boils or sores that come up because of the original makkah that healed the nistra makkah, then it came back. So shechayv raposo, that you do have to go and pay for those, the doctor bills for that person. So v'chayv litin l'shifto, and you also have to pay the unemployment, so you have to pay l'raposo and l'shifto. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says, tam aloma, rak shifto yitain rapo yirapay, our famous pasuk that we've been discussing from Mishpatim. Now, the Braisa continues here and says, Yochel afilu shalom machmas hamaka. I might have thought that if there's any sort of a wound infection, even though it's nothing to do with the original maka that was received over here, that you'd have to go pay for that as well. Talmud Lomer says, no, the word rak, shivto yitain, rapo yirapay. The word rak is a miut, and that comes to exclude when the wound infection, the boils, the sores that come up, have nothing to do with the original maka, so then you don't have to go and pay for them. That's the opinion over here, the Tanakhama of the Braisa. Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Rav Yossi, who is the son of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana that we just had in the previous Braisa, he holds Af Machmas HaMaka Potter. We're dealing here with the case of the excessive bandaging, the Igud Yisera, and since this was not allowed, so Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda says, in this situation, you're Potter. Now, what does Potter mean? We'll have two different interpretations of what Potter means, but the bottom line is, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda says, you're Potter because the word rock tells us not to make the full connection. Now, two ways to learn this. Ikad Yamre, some suggest that Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda is teaching us over here, Af machmas hamakor potur means legamre, exactly like the opinion of Rabbanan Basrai. When you don't have to pay anything, the Rabbanan Basrai say, because the Eged Yisera wasn't allowed, so therefore you don't pay the deductibles and you don't pay the unemployment. So if this means over here, totally, af machmas hamakor potur, according to Yosef Yehudi, means you pay nothing, so then that goes in accord with the third opinion, the Rabbanan Basrai, that we just had in the Brisa. Alternatively, when Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda says over here, af mach vasamach potur, he only means mishebes. You don't have to pay the unemployment amount. However, v'chayv v'ripoy, but you have to go and pay the doctor bills. And then that goes like the opinion of his father, kiman kiavua. That goes like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. This is his son, Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. So the second version of understanding this, af mach vasamach potur, means it only goes on the shebes you don't have to pay, but the ripoy you do have to pay. And that's exactly like the second opinion that we just had in the brisa before, and the opinion of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Now the Gemara continues and says, let's analyze this a little bit more. Omar, we just said, Yochal afilu shelo machma samachba, tamud lo merak. You might have thought that you'd have to pay for the wound infection, even if it came about not due to the makkah, it came about to the eged yaseira that you did. So comes to teach us the word rak, tells us, no, you don't pay for it. Yochal afilu shelo machma samachba, that you don't have to pay for it in that situation. Now, Gemara says, shelo machma samachba, boy, krah, I need a pasuk to tell me that I shouldn't have to pay for this wound infection if it had nothing to do with the original makkah? Where it says, no, Amre, what does it mean over here? My shalom achas makkah. What does it mean when it says it didn't come about because of the original makkah? So, kidetanya, it's like we learned in the following brisa. Hare sha'over al divrei rofe. What happens if the doctor says, do this and do that? And the person who was hurt, Nebuch, didn't listen to the doctor. You should always listen to the doctor's advice. So the person here did not listen to the doctor's advice. And this is very, very typical that, for example, a person's a diabetic and they're very prone to wound infections. So the ochal dvash, and this diabetic doesn't take care of his diabetes, and he eats a lot of sweet things. He eats a lot of honey, or other types of sweets, and his sugar goes out of control, and as a result, he gets infections. And this is so true, that having a very high blood glucose can in fact make the healing of a makkah much more difficult. It can cause all sorts of damage. That's why Nebuch, sometimes very poorly controlled diabetics can get very, very severe foot infections, for example, and they can sometimes lose their feet. They have to have amputations. So in any event, the doctor said, don't eat this sugary stuff. Control your sugar, and the patient doesn't listen. So in this situation, one might have thought that in this situation, so it's the patient's fault. Why should the guy that gave the original mark have to pay anything? Because the patient's indiscretion, the hello makoso gargusti, because he didn't control his sugar, so he got a gangrenous foot. That's what the Gemara will explain. Gargusti is, he had dead tissue on his foot. So I might have thought, Yochel Yechai L'Raposo, that he should have to go and pay for this in this situation. The person who did the original wound would have to go and pay for this, because after all, it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for his original wound, so Tam B'lom Arach. So therefore, the Torah tells us, no, that in this situation, since it's the patient's fault, so we don't make the one who hit him have to go and pay for that. As Tosus explains, in Dira Maskel, overall Dira Garofe, lo choshev le posheya kol kach. One might have thought that maybe he isn't such a posheya, and therefore the one who hit him should be liable to pay. So therefore, the Gemara answers, no. In this situation, the word rak tells us, tamaloma rak comes to teach us only if it's really due to the makkah. But if it's not due to the makkah, so then, even though it's not totally your fault, if you hadn't gotten the blow in the first place, maybe you wouldn't have had this wound infection, nevertheless, you're considered liable. Now, what exactly is this gargusni, which I translated as gangrene? My gargusni, so more says, Amar Abaye, it means noso kirichta. Rashi explains, noso kirichta means basar mace. It means dead flesh. In other words, a gangrenous piece of tissue. No, Gemara says, my asuse, is there a way to cure it? So obviously it can't be totally gangrenous over here. It just means that it's very, very poor condition. So the Gemara says, yeah, you put on it ahalo. Rashi explains ahalo is a certain foreign language word that means aloe. And you put on it kira, which is some sort of a wax. And you put on it kalba. Rashi says kira shava. And kalba is another foreign language word. So Rashi says is the things that are found. It's like the resin that's found. That's the word rishina. Maybe having is its root resin. It's the sraf shel eitz. It means like the resin of a barrel. So you put all of this stuff on it, and that's some sort of a concoction that will hopefully be able to heal this near gangrenous type of a wound infection. Okay, Gemara says, if the person who hit the other guy says, listen, I'm a doctor, and I will go and heal you myself. Rashi explains, he says, I'll save myself the doctor bills because I'll go and take care of you. The Masik says, I'm a doctor, and I will go and heal you. So, any no saying, and I'm not going to go pay for somebody else to go and take care of you. So, the person who was hit, the victim, is allowed to say, Amalei, domis alai ki arye arva. You're appearing to me like a lion in wait to go and pounce. In other words, the person who was hurt, he says, listen, I don't want you treating me. You're the one who caused my trouble in the first place. How do I know you're going to treat me well? I don't want you to treat me, even if the person is highly qualified. The person, Nebuch, who hit him is a highly qualified doctor. He's a great surgeon. He's a plastic surgeon. He could do a great job, he says, in healing this wound. So nevertheless, the person who has the wound is allowed to say, no, I want somebody else, and you pay somebody else. No, the Imam Marley, if the one who gave the zets said, listen, I'll go and get you a doctor. Okay, I'm not the doctor. I'll get you a doctor. My sin in Asya, the Magon Bemagon. I'll get you a doctor that will go and treat you for free. Rashi explains, because he's a Karov. He's a relative of his. Or there's some other reason that he'll treat him for free. So therefore, I'm not going to pay you to go and hire yourself another doctor. I got a doctor for you. They'll treat you for free. And even if this doctor is qualified, the person who was hurt is allowed to say, Amalei, Asyo de Magon be Magon, Magon Shove. If you're going to tell me you have a doctor that's going to treat me for nothing, the doctor's worth nothing. And I don't have to go and take your doctor for free. You get what you pay for. And if you're not really giving me the choice of which doctor I go to and you're paying for it, then I don't have to go and listen to you and take the doctor that you want me to see. Furthermore, the Omar, if the guy that gave the zets to the person who was injured says, my sinaloch asio ruchika, I'll bring you a doctor from far away, from out of town. No, this doctor has been only looking forward very much to coming to town, but he has no job. No, now he'll have some jobs, he'll get some business. So even though he's highly qualified, the victim has the right to say, Amale, no, asio ruchika, eina avira. This guy that's coming from far away, he doesn't have a reputation over here. So even though he has a reputation where he comes from, and now he's going to come over here, but Osid Leilech Ledarko, Mustam is going to go back to his place. The Eino Choshesh in Iver Eino Shozeh. And he's not going to care if he blinds me. In other words, if he doesn't do a good job, it doesn't harm his reputation because he has no other patients over here. He's from a far away place. And therefore, I don't have to go and take that guy. I want a guy that's going to have to be in this neighborhood, and if he messes up and does a bad job, everybody's going to know about it, and therefore he's going to be more encouraged to do a good job. So the person who Nebuch is hurt is in the driver's seat, and he can demand that his doctor of choice be paid for and not have to settle for a doctor that the person who caused the damage, either he himself is a doctor or he'll hire a relative of his or bring somebody in from out of town that would be less expensive. No, the victim doesn't have to take that doctor. Now, if the victim says to the guy that gave him the makkah, listen, just give me the money. Pay me. It would cost you $1,000 if I had to go to a plastic surgeon. So, I'll take care of myself. I'll put on my own bombs and salves, and I'll take care of it myself. And I don't need the doctor, but I'll take the $1,000. So then the one who gave the makkah has the right to say back to him, no, Poshata b'nafshach, v'shakalta b'noitzvei. You're going to end up doing more damage to yourself because you didn't take care of yourself properly, and then it's going to cost $10,000 to heal you after you've damaged yourself. No, I'm not going to go and give you $1,000 and say, okay, take my chances. And the amalei coachly mikates, and even if the person who's damaged says, listen, so set up a set amount and that's it. It'll be $1,000 and that's it. And I won't come back to you for any more. So you don't have to worry about it. So amalei, no, the guy that gave him the zets can say, kol shekein deposhata b'nafshach. No, you still are going to do a lousy job and everybody's going to point the finger at me, even though you're not going to be able to come to me for more money, but the whole world's going to be pointing to me and say, listen, v'karuli shara mazik, everybody's going to say, yeah, look at that. That guy, he's the one that hurt Yanko. Yanko's walking around with a limp. Yanko's walking around with an amputation because that guy caused him the damage. So the person who caused the damage says, listen, I'm willing to pay a doctor to heal you, but I'm not willing to just give you $1,000 and call it a day. Okay. Now the Gemara goes and continues and says, Tana, we learn the following braisa, v'kulon mishtalmin b'makom nezek. Everybody has to pay when there is damage. In other words, you have to pay for all the tzar, ripu, sheves, and boshes when there is damage. So you can't just pay for the nezek, you have to pay for the tzar as well as the ripu, sheves, and boshes. And then we're asked the obvious question, you know, how do you know that? Maybe you should just have to pay nezek. Oh, if you don't pay nezek, then you have to pay tzar, ripu, sheves, and boshes. But if you're paying for nezek, that's like damages. So shouldn't that be a single payment? So how do we know that you have to also pay the other four types of damages? So I'm Rav Zvid, Mishrei the Rava. Rav Zvid said the name of Rava because the pasuk says, "Omakra petza tachas potza." The pasuk that we just brought down for Mishpatim, and that comes to teach us litain tsar bimokum nezek. That we had said came to teach us that you pay for tsar even if there is nezek. Mar says, I needed that for something else. Haimi Boile, we turn to Pehei Amud Beis. We need that to teach us the following. L'rabo shoge kimezik v'onis kiratzon. We need that to come to include, however the accident occurred, adam mu'ad li'olam. A person is always responsible. And whether he did it, what we call an unintentional act, he did it shoge, or he did it with an onus. It was totally uncontrolled. It was totally not what he was wanting to do. Nevertheless, you have to go and pay. So that's what I need. The words petza, tachas, potza to teach me, and it's not free to go and teach me tsar. Mar says, no, it can teach both, because the imkain, if that were true, nichtov kro petza, bi petza, it would have said without the word tachas, my petza, tachas, potza, shmami no tarti. It can teach me both, it can teach me the drushas that include shogeg and an ones, and it can also include the din that you pay for tsar, even though you already paid for nezek. No, Rapapa Mishmei the Rav Amar, a different reason. He says, Amar Krov Rapoy Rapay. The pasuk tells us that you have to go and pay the doctor bills. Litain Rafua Bimokum Nezek. And that is, even if there's Nezek, you still have to pay the doctor bills. Where it says, no. We just brought down that we need the words Rapoy Rapay, Haim Boyle, the tongue of the Rishmal, for the famous drush from the basement of Rishmal, the tongue of the Rishmal, the Rapoy Rapay, Mikan, Shinit, the Rishus, the Rofi, Rapos. As we said, you might have thought it's going against God's will. How dare you go and heal somebody that's going, God made him sick. So how dare you go and heal them? So we said, no, the Torah tells us Rapoy Rapay. So how can you use it for this other drusha to teach us that you have to go and pay for the doctor bills, even though you already paid for the Nezek? So it says, because if it had just said, imkei nichtov the kraw, the pasuk should have said, v'rofe yirapay. Or it should have said some other version. Why did it say over here, rapo yirapay, a different lashon? Kamash v'lan comes to teach us, shema mino litin refuah b'makom nezek, to come to teach us this din. Okay, the word says, v'akati b'boy le'el chedamor, but we still need this pasuk, l'misne be kraw b'ripoy, that we needed it to tell us that you have to go pay for the wound infection, and not only just the wound itself. So we needed the rapo yirapay for that. So Gemara says again, imkein lemakra o rapo rapo o yirapay rapay. Just use the same lashon both times. My virapo yirapay. It comes to teach us. You can learn all of these drushes. Shmamino alitein refuah b'makom nezek. You can also learn this din that even though you're paying nezek, you also have to pay the doctor bills. And at the same time, you can also learn out that you can go and do this even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the person sick. Nevertheless, you're allowed to go and heal the person. The Torah gave you permission. And in addition, you have to go and pay for the wound infection that comes, even though you have to pay the doctor bills for that, even though it wasn't the original wound itself. Gemara continues and says, Michlal, as well, we can learn from here, the Mishkach is Lushalom B'mokum Nezek. If you need a psukim to tell us that you have to pay for these four items when there is Nezek, so the implication is you certainly have to pay for these items when there is no Nezek. Shalom B'mokum Nezek, Hechem Mishkach is Lushalom. How can you possibly ever have a case, however, where you'd have Tsar, Ripu, Sheves, and Boshes, and no Nezek? Shmuel says, well, that we simply learned already. Tsar, Kidiktani. The Tsar was already taught to us. For example, there is no damage when you go and burn his nail. Tsar, Kivo, Bishput, or Bimisamer, when you go and hurt his nail, so there's no damage, the person's still perfectly functional. It hurts like anything, but that's the Tsar part. So you can have Tsar, Vafilo Altsiparno, if you go and burn him on his nail. Mochim Sheino Sechaburi, it doesn't cause any lasting damage, it just hurts. So therefore, we see that you pay Tsar, even though there's no Nezek. And what about Ripur, Sheves, and Boshes? Where do we see those? So Ripur, the Havi Ka'ev, Le, Midev, and Solik. You know what happened? Something was hurting the person, and it got better. But Isilei, Samo, Harifa, and then the person who caused the damage then put some Samo, Harifa. He put some sort of a very sharp type of an ointment, a potion on it, the Achvirei, Lebisrei, and it caused the skin to turn white. And therefore, in this situation, There is no functional damage, so there's no nezek, but there is going to be a need to go and heal this because it doesn't look so good, and therefore there's going to be doctor bills. So therefore, the achbere lebisre, the changing of the color of the skin, is something that doesn't cause any nezek, but the tzorich li osve le sama liankute gabno debisre. But he'll have to go and pay a dermatologist to go and return and restore the skin to its normal coloration, and therefore that is an example of we have repoit without nezek. Where do we have Sheves without Nezek? The Hadke b'indrona. What happened? The person was locked in a room and wasn't able to go to work. So you didn't cause him any physical damage, but you didn't let him go to work. So Ubatle, he wasn't able to work. So therefore, that's how you can have the unemployment, the loss of work, without having any Nezek, without any damage to the person. And finally, where do we have Boshes without Nezek? Boshes, Dirok Le Biape. He spit on him. So there was no physical damage to the person, but it was a tremendously embarrassing thing to have somebody spit him in the face. And therefore, there are the cases that we just explained of where you have the Tsar, Ripoy, Sheves, and Boshes, even though there is no Nezek. Now the Gemara says, back to the Mishnah, Sheves, Ronos, Okilu, Shomer, Kishuin. We said that if the person is to be employed, he'll only be able to work as a shomer kishuin, a person who watches melafophonim, who watches cucumbers, because he's damaged, and therefore he can only work, he can't do his original job, and therefore he's now unable to work as even a shomer kishuin. So that's what you have to pay him for as unemployment wages. Where it says, Tana Rabban, we learn the following braisa, Sheves, in order to pay the unemployment, Ro'no so kilu hu shomer kishuin, we view him as if he was a cucumber watcher, he's watching a field of cucumbers, and that is how we pay him. Where it says, the braisa says, V'im tomar lox o midas adin. Beforehand, the guy was a neurosurgeon, and now you're paying him as a watchman of kishuin? So how is that fair? Looks like the Torah is not treating this person properly. He was making $100,000 an operation, and now all of a sudden he's making $50 a day. So how do you go and reconcile that? So where it says the chimisbach haigabra, when this person does get better, so as he gets better and is able to do more and more, he'll be able to be paid more and more. So if he's unable to work, but now he's getting better, so then the unemployment cost will go up. Lav agro de shomer kishum hushakil. Then eventually he will take more than the wages of just somebody who's watching a field of cucumbers. Ella deli davlo v'shakil agra. Eventually he'll be able to get stronger and he'll be able to go and draw water from the wells and he'll get a higher salary. And inami, alternately, also b'shaliach v'shakil agra. He'll be able to go and be a messenger and he'll get paid for being the deliverer of the messages. So he'll constantly be able to go up. So Gemara says, Midas Adin Log Loksa. And the Gemara explains, because in this way, we're not really punishing him in any way. The Torah is not punishing him, because Shekvar Nosilo Deme Yodo Deme Raglo. He's already suffered the loss of, before he was a neurosurgeon, and now he's not able to do that. So he was already paid for that. That was the Nezek. And now the guy is awake and alert and oriented, and he could do other jobs. He can't do his neurosurgery anymore. Nebuchadnezzar can cut off his hands. He can't do his neurosurgery, but he can work still. And the only reason he's not able to work is because of what you've done to him. So therefore, you have to pay him for not being able to watch the field of cucumbers. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, kotes yado. If you never cut off somebody's hand, or no, then you have to pay him. No sin lo dime yado. You have to pay him for the value of his hand." The Sheves, and then you have to pay him as well, but now he can't work. So in addition to the damages, so you now have to pay him the unemployment that he's not able to work. How do you evaluate that? So as we pointed out, Ron Sokilu, Shomer Kishon. That is something, even without a hand, he could go watch the cucumber field. If you broke his leg, Shibiris Raglo, no sin lo dume raglo. You have to pay him the nezek for having the broken leg, and you also have to pay him. Now he's not working, the Sheves. The nezek already took into account how much his functionality has been decreased, and he can't do the jobs he did previously, so that's already included in Nezek. But he also now can't go and work as a cucumber watcher, so the Sheves, you have to see, Rodas Okilu, Shomer, a Pesach. All he can do now is go watch a door. He can't move about, so he can't go and watch the whole field, so he has to stand in one place. So you put him by a doorway, and he'll go and watch that doorway. So that'll be even a lesser fee. Bryce continues, says, Simo is saying, if you blinded somebody, so no sin lo demeino, you have to go and pay with the nezek for the eyes. And now the unemployment, Sheves, what can this guy who's blind, Nebuch, do? So Rono so kilu matchino berechayim. All he can do is do something that doesn't require any watching because he can't watch anything, but he can turn a millstone. So he'll turn the millstone and you'll pay him for turning the millstone. But if you went and damaged him, chersho, you made him that he no longer is able to hear or to speak. So no se lo de me kulo. Then this person can't do any of these jobs, and now you'll have to pay him the full nezek over here. We'll take into account even unemployment. Obviously, if he still is able to do his job, he's deaf now, but he was doing a type of job that just required him to read. So in that situation, if he's still able to read, if he's still able to do his job by touch or by feel, so he doesn't require listening. So then, obviously, this person can work at that other job. So then the amount of nezek would be less. Okay. By Rava, Rava has the following shayla. Kotes yodo v'lamaduhu nebuch. Somebody cut off his hand, and they didn't go and establish in the Beis Din before Shiver Esraglo V'lo Amadu. Before the guy also broke his leg, and they didn't bring him to the Beis Din yet. And then the guy went Sime Seino V'lo Amadu, and then he blinded him, and they didn't yet bring him to the Beis Din. And then finally, it was so Chersho, and then ultimately he made him deaf as well. So we just said that a deaf person, so that's, you're basically paying 100% damages. So, ma, what's the halach over here? Do we say, mi amrinon, kivon de lo amadu, since they didn't go and evaluate him each time with the Beis Din after each one, so, bechat umdino sagile, so it's enough to do one umdino, and right now he has all of these injuries, so no sin lo demei kulo, so he just gets 100% of the nezek, but the yoev le demei kule bahadi adadi, he gets it all in one lump sum, and therefore there is no other additional payments that would be made, because he's totally unemployable. Odilmo, do we say, chado chado amdinon viovinon le? Or do we say, no, if you would evaluate him after the first thing, just cutting off his hand, he would have gotten a certain amount above the nezek, and second with the broken leg, and then with the blinding him, and only when he was substantially cherish did he lose it all. So maybe you should give him a different amount. So nafkamina, what's the bottom line? The nafkamina, whether you do it all at once, or if you do it as it was four separate evaluations, the boil and mesa late tsaru boshes the chochadu chada. You have to pay the tsar and the boshes for each one, because nihid the nezek v'ripoy v'shev is the chochadu chada lo yavina late. Obviously, you don't have to pay him, since you're paying him the total nezek, and the ripoy, you're paying him the total dollars for the health care, for the repoy, and the unemployment is all now incorporated in that, so those you wouldn't pay him any difference whether you did the first methodology or the second methodology. But, however, the tsar and the boshes, so the kivin de kiyoiv le demei kule, if you're just looking at it as one lump sum, so then in that situation, kiman de katle dome, it's as if you killed him, vayoiv le demei kule, and you give him one lump sum. Tsar boshes miyo de chukod v'chodayov. But in the situation, we have to go and look at each one individually. So he got individual tsar and boshes after each one. The havalei laid tsar and boshes. So then you have to pay him separate tsar and boshes for each one. And the imtim silomar kibin de la madua, if you want to say that, no, they didn't go and evaluate him, and therefore koyav laid me kule bahadi adad, and you have to go give it to him all at once. So then, what happens if, in fact, amadua mahu? What happens if you did go and evaluate him after each one? Mi amrin kevin da madua, since you evaluated him after each one, chodo chodo boil him nasically, then you have to go and pay him for each one, even though you haven't paid him yet, and now it's all the damage is done. Or dilmud, we say, no, kevin de lo shom, since you didn't pay him now, yoiv leit mei kule, just give one lump sum over here, and you don't have to go pay the additional amounts that you would have had to pay after each evaluation. And the word doesn't come to a resolution. It says, teiku, we leave it. And normally, when it comes to a teiku with financial, so we say, amos v'cheri olav rai, you have to prove it. So if you go to a Beis Din, the Beis Din will go and say you don't have to go and pay it. However, if he went and grabbed it, so then once it's already grabbed, so we said, say, most of the Kerala right, then he shouldn't have grabbed it, and therefore you'd have to bring the Raya. So teiku over here means that we don't come to a definitive answer, and Hamotzi B'Chavero, Olav HaRaya. With this, we conclude today's share.